Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene on All Sides Weekend. Joining me this morning, restaurant reviewers for WOSU, Rich Terapak, along with his son, Rich, and from the other paper, Miriam Bowers Abbott. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
It's once again football season. OSU is playing Central Florida in the Shoe tomorrow. The team is actually beginning this year with four home games, so there are lots of opportunities for local people to get out there and tailgate. People are looking for some new and different ideas. Rich, you submitted one for today. What do you like to do?
Well, I always like to think if you're not lucky enough to have, you know, a set of parking passes that you can block off four spots and bring your own grill, which is a great idea if you
can
do it.
We have friends who used to hire their own porta potty too.
Yeah, but if you can't afford to do that, one of the things that I like to do, especially for noon games when you're tailgating starting at 8 or 9 in the morning, is breakfast burritos are a favorite of mine. You just do a scramble the night before of, you know, eggs, onions, sausage, cheddar. I usually throw in a little paprika and cayenne, and then you wrap them up and flour tortillas, then wrap them in foil overnight, refrigerate them, and in the morning, just turn on the oven to about 325 and heat them up for about a half hour. And you need if you have a thermal bag, that's best. Bring them down there, and then they're actually just ready to eat. You don't need any plates or silverware. It's always a big hit whenever I've done it.
Well, perhaps a napkin or two.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, napkins are a plus.
You got your sleeve.
But that's one really good option if you don't have the full setup available to you.
Good idea. We did, for years, we did kind of the four parking space tailgates, and we had all sorts of elaborate stuff. Some of the things, you're right, I think most of these games are noon games, and so you want to have some breakfast-like stuff. And I did something on one of those that was kind of fun. It's a variation on a theme of the eggs. They're deviled eggs, but they're deviled eggs with tuna and capers. And they're really quite good, and they hold up pretty well, and you can make a bunch of them, and they sell well. Always got to have some brownies. Those gooey caramel brownies are probably the best kind. The other kinds of things you can have before the game that aren't too heavy, Rotel dip is always a hit. Take some guacamole along with that, and you've got a regular Mexican feast.
So when you prepare the tuna and capers, are you making a tuna salad, that kind of thing?
Actually, you take the egg yolks and you mix in albacore tuna. And then also the mustard, the vinegar, and that kind of thing, mayonnaise, chopped up capers. They get a lot bigger because you've added the tuna to them, but they're really quite good.
So. I'm going through a nacho phase right now, just generally in this world. And so a nacho bar would be something that would make sense to me. It's something you can eat with your fingers, and it allows for people to be control freaks, so everybody can have what they want on their nachos and nothing else. There's two in town that I find particularly inspirational. One version of nachos comes from Lexi's on 3rd, which is owned by the Danny's Deli people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Reuben nachos. So you have potato chips, corned beef, sauerkraut, or I guess coleslaw if you're a wimp, and Thousand Island dressing, and Swiss cheese. And, you know, you can just dump all that on your potato chips. That makes me happy. And then the other one, so I just eat everything. And then the other one that I've had that is outstanding in my head right now is from Gallo's Pit Barbecue, kind of the newer barbecue place on 161. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of kind of traditional nachos with the guacamole and the sour cream, but they use smoked chicken. And there's something about smoked chicken on nachos. It feels really different and really good. So all about the nacho bar for me.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of smoked food, that's another thing I've done for afternoon games. Again, if you don't have the grill ready, if you want to smoke, you know, a shoulder of pork or a beef brisket a few days in advance, you know, pull it or shred it. You know, while it's still warm, but just wrap it up in foil. It'll retain most of its moisture. And then again, just, you know, the morning of, heat it up in the oven, take along a bottle of barbecue sauce and a sack of buns and, you know, some plates, and you're ready to go.
If you want to get sophisticated, put chutney on it. It's all good. The same thing, you can do the same thing with pork loins. Just grill them off, slice them down, make great little sandwiches on the white castle-sized buns.
Yeah. Right.
And what about drinks? What about beverages?
Oh, drinks.
Well, for me, Bloody Mary is the only thing. Obviously, you shouldn't do that at at the Ohio State University.
Obviously.
But if you've got some red Solo cups, my favorite my favorite mix is the Tabasco brand of Bloody Mary mix. Actually, Tabasco, you all know the sauce.
Mr. T is named after you.
Yeah, I like the Tabasco brand better. Lots of horseradish, lime juice, pepper. You can actually pre-mix it all, bring it in a pitcher of some sort, and you're good to go.
Something else that's camouflaged.
That's right.
292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about food and restaurants and specifically tailgating. And Doug is joining us from Clintonville. Go ahead.
Yeah, I always thought some of the best one was just all the sausage vendors going down Lane Avenue.
Sure. Yep, the brats with sauerkraut on them are great.
The sauerkraut and onions, cheese.
Yep.
You don't have to deal with anything. It's all ready for you.
Or you can stop by the Giant Eagle and have them all prepared and put it in the sack.
Or actually, even here at the WOSU headquarters Olentangy Road, right at the Coaches Club upstairs, they actually do a big breakfast. So if you really don't want to bring anything down, you're only steps from the stadium, this would be a good place to stop as well.
And you can have a Bloody Mary there.
Indeed.
So it sounds like anything that's portable, anything you can hold in your hands, pop in your mouth, pretty much does it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And there's always chicken wings.
Those sound really kind of messy, though.
There's residue. I mean, unless you eat the bone, there's always like
If you've got the whole table set up and you got some wipes, those are, they're always a hit with folks. Who doesn't like chicken wings?
292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about food and restaurants with the Terrapax, Rich and Rich, along with Marion Bowers Abbott of The Other Paper. You've all been busy visiting some local new restaurants. Where have you been?
Pho Chef is the place that I wrote about this week, and it's new. It's on 161. It looked like it was going to be a little chain place, nothing too much to look at, just like some other random joint giving a try on the 161 Sawmill kind of suburban area. But when I went in, the staff rushed up to sit me down, and I had a really drop-dead awesome meal there, and enough to make me want to write about it. And a lot of times I hear about new ethnic restaurants, and everybody says, oh, they're so wonderful, it's the best blah, blah, blah I've ever had outside of blah, blah, blah. And I get tired of hearing that. But this place has really authentic items, very fresh preparation. So they had Vietnamese egg rolls that had the thin shell that are cold with noodles inside and crisp lettuce with really
cilantro.
Interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, cilantro, lots of cilantro. Yep. Really freshly prepared sauces to dip things in with little painstakingly like ground peanuts on top of the sauce. It was just, there was a lot of thought in the preparation and a lot of hospitality in the place itself.
And this is Pho, P-H-O, right?
Yeah, P-H-O. I like to say, yeah, Pho-fo.
Pho-fo.
Pho-fo. P-5-O-fo.
Pho. That's all right. We're in Ohio.
Well, and we seem to have a proliferation lately of Thai restaurants, Vietnamese restaurants. Are they popular enough to be sustained?
I think especially, up there on the north side where there is a lot of great Asian restaurants, that Vietnamese was one that wasn't serviced that well on kind of the northwest side. So I think, from what Miriam says, I haven't had a chance to eat there. I think that can definitely succeed out there. I know our little, favorite over on that I've spoken of many times on South Hamilton, Indochine Cafe, does quite well just on the word of mouth. I think they can be sustained. I think it's an introduction a lot of people are just making to a great cuisine that's tasty and fairly healthy.
Yeah, I think so. What's the place at the North Market that has pho?
Lock Viette.
Yeah, always popular. You can get filled up on a good deal of stock and noodles and fresh vegetables and a little bit of protein. And it's a bargain. It's pretty, as you say, pretty healthy. I think it's a flavor that everybody's getting used to. Even those people who, I guess, there's 10% of the population that can't eat cilantro. But
I'm one.
Yeah, meaning you hate it, or meaning you turn green?
It tastes like soap, I guess.
No, I don't. I don't care for it. Plus, I can taste it all day and the next day.
Wow.
I've heard that. Yeah, and Vietnamese food. Just like Thai, they use quite a bit of cilantro.
Yeah, I won't send you there. Don't go to Fasha.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it though you should be looking for when you go to a Vietnamese or a Thai restaurant?
Well, I mean, really, it's, you know, when it comes to pho, it's the stock. You know, it's, you know, they, whether they, it's, most of them do make it themselves.
Is this the fish stock?
Yeah. No, generally, it's... Generally, it's pork that they use most of the time. That's kind of what differentiates one bowl from another. Another thing you look for is, you know, with the banh mi sandwiches that a lot of these places have is, you know, how good is their, you know, the pâté kind of.
And this is kind of a French carryover.
Yeah, it's because of the French colonialism in Vietnam. This is their version of, it's basically just, you know, a sandwich on French bread. But they use,
you know. A little baguette with... You know, thinly sliced pork and usually some
cilantro, julienne carrots,
peppers,
pate.
Pickled peppers.
They can be made in many forms, but you know, kind of the distinguishing factor is usually the spread that's on the sandwich,
which is pretty much a foie gras. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I notice and makes a big difference to me in restaurants is the freshness of the vegetables. So if the lettuce is wilty, it means something different to me than really crisp, crunchy lettuce. So Fa Chef had really crisp, crunchy lettuce, and the cucumbers were crisp. They hadn't been sitting in a cooler all day. And that makes a huge difference when it comes to your sensory perception of something.
Absolutely.
292-8513. You can join us here on the air. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking with Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Marion Bowers Abbott of the other paper. Barrio downtown has apparently undergone a facelift of sorts.
Yes, that's one of the new openings. I've yet to get in there yet. It's now called Madrid. It's actually under the same ownership, the Deo Restaurant Group. It is still doing kind of 70% of the menu I've read was still Spanish tapas style cuisine. What they've done essentially with the they shut down for 2 months and kind of gut rehabbed the restaurant. They've got a new space upstairs for busy overflow or private parties. I think called the White Room. But it looks really sharp from the pictures I've seen online. I've yet to get in there. If any of our listeners have, we'd love to hear what you think of the new space.
So does it look different on the outside as well?
It looks a little bit different on the outside. It's very kind of modern, chic style.
Mm-hmm. Which is a signature, I think, for the Deo restaurants. Mm-hmm. They seem to all have that chic style.
Yes.
So the folks who were really concerned about what happened to Barrio, I think are going to be real pleased to find out it was just a remodel.
Yeah, with a pretty, I imagine, similar menu if it's still Spanish tapa style.
And in the downtown area is a place called The Tavern. It's in Old Town East. You've been there, right, Mary?
Right. That was the place where I had the broccoli grilled cheese sandwich with potatoes. I think that was everything that I liked, you know, and the beet sliders.
Oh, the beet
I had
sliders.
Those too. Yes, I had unusual things there that I enjoyed immensely.
It's really an attractive place. It's right across from Yellow Brick Pizza. I guess that's probably 18th and Oak.
Yeah, that's
right?
It's the perfect corner, and there's that little Angry Baker
there,
too. It's right next door to Angry Baker. And yeah, it's a beautiful restaurant spot. And they've got a great patio out back. I know the patio season is close to winding down, but we were really impressed with that. They do a great sangria in a 64-ounce mason jar. That we shared after visiting Yellow Brick Pizza the other night, Dad and I.
Four people. It was okay.
Yeah, we did. Five of us shared.
I was going to say you could take that tailgate.
There's another place. That Oak Street corridor is getting to be quite something. There's another place pretty much at the far end. I think it's on the corner of Ohio and Oak. It's an old meat market. It's called the Oak Street Meat Market. It was actually opened by Bob Hope's cousin. And they have pictures of Bob Hope back in the 40s carving up beef in the back room. It still operates as a wholesale meat market, but the guy who owned the retail room in the front is separate from the meat market, and has there was a little grocery store there for a long time. He's the owner, and was just the landlord, and I think the grocery moved out, and he kind of painted up the place and bought a bunch of old lawn furniture and stuck it inside. And he does terrific fried fish sandwiches, also on kind of a baguette. He's doing soft shelled crab that they make their own tartar. They've got they probably have a list of maybe 10 different fish sandwiches. They do kind of spiced shrimp. In a po' boy kind of fashion, a lot of fun, not very expensive. You can get a can of pop out of the cooler and sit down at the old lawn chair and have a great lunch.
And tell us again the name.
Oak Street Meat Market.
You think it's at Okanah, Ohio?
Okanah, Ohio, I believe.
So is this new or is this one of your secrets?
This is new. I think he's only been open since May, I think.
So. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with your phone calls and emails on All Sides Weekend.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Be sure to watch Columbus on the Record tonight at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. The panel will provide in-depth analysis of several topics, including how Ohio views the Democratic National Convention and a possible rematch between Governor John Kasich and former Governor Ted Strickland. Watch Columbus on the Record tonight at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. 79 degrees, warming up to a high of 90 today. Showers and thunderstorms overnight tonight. Support for 89.7 comes from the Midland Theater, presenting Here to Stay, The Gershwin Experience. Sunday afternoon, October 14th, Here to Stay is a multimedia concert celebrating George and Ira Gershwin, performing such songs as Rhapsody in Blue, I've Got Rhythm, and many more. Tickets at midlandtheater.org. And support also comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts, presenting Hal Holbrook in Mark Twain Tonight. Hal Holbrook performs his one-man show, delivering a rambling, intelligent, and comedic monologue with material derived from Mark Twain historians, Thursday, September 20th, at the McCoy Center in New Albany. Details at mccoycenter.org. And All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're here on All Sides Weekend talking about food and restaurants in the Columbus and Central Ohio area. With WOSU food critics Rich Terapek, his son Rich, and Marian Bowers Abbott of The Other Paper. And Mark has been very patiently waiting for us. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. This is just a quick heads up about, it's an annual event actually. It's called the International Taste of Columbus, and it's an international buffet with a lot of different restaurants from the Columbus area, Central Ohio area. Providing food. It's actually a fundraiser for the Columbus International Program, which hosts visitors from overseas and arranges host families and study tours and work experience in the Central Ohio area. But this event is really fun. It's a chance to hit a lot of restaurants at one time in one place, and it's happening in Dublin. At OCLC, their gigantic headquarters there in the main atrium. So that's just a quick heads up. I don't know if any of you have attended it and know of this.
No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, I'm sorry, we haven't.
And when is it?
It's October 7th from 4:30 to 7:30, and. It's just a lot of fun. There are it's not only restaurants. Actually, there are some individual kind of participants from other countries with the Columbus International Program who are preparing dishes from their own from their own homelands, and that's always really fun. You get to try stuff that you might not normally get a chance to taste. So it's just that was just a quick shout out.
Well, thanks so much for the call. It's the International Taste of Columbus in Dublin at the OCLC, October
7th. That's right. If you want to get, if anyone's interested in going, cipcolumbus.org is the website for the Columbus International Program.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
It's sort of that season again. Maybe when the weather cools down a little bit, everybody gets back into food and wine experiences. And Rich and I and our wives, along with Chuck and Bernice White, are co-chairs of the Columbus Food and Wine Affair, which is probably the largest food and wine experience in Columbus and also of terrific quality. It's September 21st at Franklin Park. You cannot possibly get there early enough or stay late enough to eat all the food they have and consume a lot of very good wine. It's so good, and it's so, I guess, has built up a reputation that the Food Network is going to be there this year.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
And so it's a lot of fun. Again, you can do this and then, diet for a couple of weeks and go to the international one. It's 6 to 10, Friday, September 21st. Rich, you want to throw some information out?
And they've also, this is the 10th anniversary of this event. It's grown each year, and this year they've actually expanded it to a Thursday night event as well called the Chana Divino at the Columbus Museum of Art, which will be featuring three chefs, Paul Yao of Barcelona doing appetizers, and then Richard Blondin of the Refectory, and Paul, I believe, doing entrees, and then also the executive chef, Robert Blyfer, from the Food Network. He's not someone you'd know from watching the Food Network, but every recipe that goes out on that network is run by him through their test kitchen first. So this is the man who knows them all, and he'll be participating that night as well as the next night over at the Conservatory. And that event is on Thursday. You can find more about all information about all of these events at foodandwineaffair.com.
And is this going to be a televised event later on?
I'm not sure. I imagine that the Food Network is taping it. I'm not sure exactly in what capacity they'll use the footage. Mm. I don't think they're doing a special on it that I've heard.
I think it's a docudrama about it.
Will you guys have to fight?
No. But yeah, it promises
we do that
to be,
well,
promises to be a great event. We're really looking forward to it, and we're honored to be asked to co-chair.
Absolutely.
And how does this work in terms of restaurants? Are they bringing in food?
It's mostly at the event on Friday night. I mentioned the three chefs who are going to participate Thursday night. The event Friday night, it's about 40 different restaurants from Columbus, mostly of the fine dining variety. And then they'll also be featuring wines from Nickel & Nickel. I think Wente Vineyards is handling the Thursday night wine.
Farniente.
It's
you can get some great wine. You can find a Bordeaux. You can find an Amarone. Just look around. You can find Jenny's ice cream. I've got a list here that would take us a while. It's 2 pages, single spaced, of the restaurants that are participating.
And it's put on by Cora, the Columbus, Ohio Restaurant Association, and it does benefit. They have scholarships to the Bradford Culinary Institute. It also benefits the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, as well as some of the WBNS 10TV charities. So it is for a good cause, and again, you can learn a lot more about it at foodandwineaffair.com.
Okay, and the name of it again is Food and Wine Affair.
The Columbus Food and Wine Affair. Yes.
At Franklin Park Conservatory,
yes.
September
21st. Yep.
And we have an email from Marcus who says, don't forget about Nong's near Grandview. He believes it's still around. You want it hot, you got it. You've been there a number of times.
I was a big fan of Nong's when I came back here from the Bay Area in 2006. I visited it several times, just in looking for good Asian food. But the last couple times I visited it, it wasn't quite as good. That was 3 years ago now, so I've not been back. But I did like it, and then, yeah, had kind of a mixed experience.
Well, consistency is one of the biggest hurdles that restaurants face. Mm-hmm. When you go in and you order something on Friday night, you want it to be just as good the next Saturday when you go in.
Exactly.
And the ones that, that we are all so familiar with, Sue Duty's, Lindy's, Rigsby's, et cetera, that's what they have. They have consistency.
292-8513, we're talking about food and restaurants. With our panelists, Rich Terapak is Sunrich, and Marian Bowers Abbott of The Other Paper. Last time we all convened at this table, we had the opportunity to interview the fire master, I guess you'd call him, at Natalie's Coal-Fired Pizza, David Koenig, I believe his name mm-hmm. was. And he told us all about the coal that they were using and how this all worked and how carefully it had to be handled. I think you've all been there or at least had a sample of the food. Now, what did you think?
I loved it. One of the things that I had that was the biggest surprise for me was something called a pizza. It's either pizza bianco or pizza blanco. So it was a totally white pizza. Mm-hmm. And when I ordered it, I thought I kind of understood it had ricotta and provolone and mozzarella. And when I got it, it was sort of conventional layers of provolone and mozzarella with giant globs, like 5 globs of ricotta. And I thought, well, that's a disaster. That's horrible. I had never had warm ricotta, just a giant mouthful of that before in my life. That is the best thing ever. That is like
I like it better that way.
Oh my, yes. I was like appearances were deceiving because it looked like it had a disease, but it was it was the best thing.
Well,
that's
I suppose
happened to me this
though
month.
You have it in lasagna when you,
yeah,
you
I guess,
warm it up.
Yeah, I just didn't. You know, that wasn't my first thought when I saw it.
What's kind of a hidden ingredient?
I get it, but it's not hidden there. That was like giant tumors of ricotta. We were talking a little bit about it before. I have a way with words.
Think of what she says when she doesn't like something.
What I liked about it is, you know, in talking to the fire master, he didn't say anything like, "This will be the hippest place that only the cool people will go to," which is what people used to say a lot about restaurants, and it used to intimidate the crud out of me because, you know, I felt like anytime I walked in, I'd be judged. So he didn't say that, but I walked in, and it is the hippest place that people are. It's really nice, and they seem to embrace everyone there. It's the coolest vibe ever. I'll shut up now.
Well, they also have music.
I've been following them on Facebook, and they have bands, it seems like, nearly every night, mostly of the folk and bluegrass variety, which is some of my favorite live music to hear. My wife and I went in as well. It was packed on a Saturday night. We ate at the bar and had a remarkable experience. It was great stuff. It was interesting. The coal-fired oven is right out there. You can watch them cook it, watch them rotate them, you know, it is serious labor. David was not lying when he told us. I mean, they're spinning those things constantly. If they take their eye off it for too long, you'll see them come out with kind of a charred side.
So how long does it take to cook a pizza?
It looks like 2 or 3 minutes, maybe. Yeah. I mean, they were popping them out, you know, just one after another. They have a great drink menu at the bar. They still didn't have wine in when we were there, but that was a couple weeks ago. They said they were expecting that soon. We had a wonderful experience. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's about maybe a mile south of 161 on North High Street, just where Quentinville meets Worthington.
And we were lucky enough to have these guys because we were babysitting for their lovely daughter and our wonderful grandchild, Sophie. And they brought us back a pizza. And even a half an hour later, you stick it in the oven for a little bit, warm it up, and it was terrific. It was really good. It's that right amount of char kind of thing. Mm-hmm. A good thin crust and great fresh ingredients, even if you have to bring it from Worthington to Bexley.
Right. I did call them in advance. I said, you know, set the oven to 425. We're on our way home. So they got it as fresh as delivery can be. But, yeah, it was great stuff.
So the oven is heated, I think he said, either to 1,100 or 1,400 degrees.
I think something that's closer to 1,100, yeah.
1,100 degrees. And the characteristic of this crust is that it has a charred bottom.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
I wouldn't know the difference between it and a wood-fired pizza, though. I can't say that that the charcoal gave me a greater thrill than a wood-fired pizza. It's thrilling, mm-hmm. But I'm not sure I could...
Does it have a grilled, like, as though you'd cook something on a charcoal?
The outside of the crust does, yeah. The bottom, you know, kind of chars just like in a wood-fired oven. I did think there was a little more char than on most wood-fired ovens.
But does it have that grilled kind of taste?
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, they do have to cook them so quickly. I think that the difference might be in the wood fire, it still takes 10 minutes. Maybe not 10, but close. And in this, the guy said if he turns around to talk to a customer, he's in real trouble because he has to turn the pizza constantly.
Yeah, he wasn't lying. That's true. Yeah. So. I watched it happen on one pie.
So are they eating their mistakes?
I assume they are.
292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We are talking about food and restaurants, and we heard from Donnie on Facebook, who says his favorite is G. Michael's for atmosphere and the low country touch on the menu. He also likes the Worthington Inn and its seasonal menu with ingredients sourced from local farmers. And, of course, we're seeing that more and more. So many foods are now sourced locally. And what is that? What is all the heat and the lack of rain, though, done to the local food crops?
Well, if you've driven anywhere outside of Columbus, you can see what it's done to the corn crop. It's a pretty sad year. I think Ohio is now included in that national disaster recovery program where some farmers will be able to.
And apparently it's worse up in the northwest part of the state.
We were up near Sandusky last weekend, and so we drove up Route 4, and it's usually just beautiful, you know, 8-foot-tall corn. And it was probably 4 feet tall. All of it burned out at the bottom. I don't know how much crop they got out of it.
I assume the root vegetables will do better than, you know, the corn and whatnot.
A little smaller.
You know, soybean should still be okay.
The soybean crop looked okay. It looked okay.
It can't be good for local sourcing. Certainly not.
Yeah.
You know, I think about our CSA and our green beans that we got in our CSA. They never, at any point in time, did they look good this year. Mm-hmm. So that may mean something about green beans, but things like tomatoes seem to come hot, hot and heavy. And maybe zucchini didn't have such a good year either.
No, I grow both of those in my backyard. My tomatoes did great. Zucchini was good at the beginning of the summer. And then as the drought wore on, it, you know, that plant went away pretty quickly. My tomatoes, on the other hand, I had a banner year.
Yeah, I was going to bring you some today. I guess not.
No, I don't need any more.
No, you don't want any. Okay.
I can take some.
Okay. Oh, good to know. Okay.
And I'll take some.
I'll still have them in October. I'll have tomatoes forever.
I still have them going, actually. Yeah.
292-8513. We are talking about food and restaurants. If you have a comment that you'd like to make, you can call us at 292-8513. We've talked about a number of new restaurants. How about the Tandoori Grill? This is up on Bethel.
It's been in progress for a while. They finally opened. We were on one of the food excursions. We went to the parent of the place called the Apna Bazaar. Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
It's a little Pakistani grocery, essentially.
Yeah. But they do take out. They got two little card tables. You can sit down and eat if you want. They'd had terrific stuff.
Yeah. Their food had become so popular that when the space next door opened up, they jumped on it. I've had their food at the counter before, again, on that Columbus food adventure we went on, but I've seen pictures of the new space next door, and it looks like a really great-looking restaurant. This is up on Bethel Road, just west of 315, on the right-hand side. Certainly worth checking out. That's Tandoori Grill.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to go back in the kitchen and watch the guys make the naan. It's quite an experience. Mm-hmm. And Pakistani Muslim naan is different than Indian or Hindi naan a little bit. It has eggs in it.
Naan is the bread, right?
Yeah, naan is the bread. Very good. Very a little bit lighter, a little bit more texture. They had some the ground chicken kebab kinds of things that were excellent. I'm trying to think of what else we had. It was all good.
Yep.
And obviously,
had some chicken tikka masala as well. Yeah, that was
right.
Good.
Yep. Right. From the folks who were shopping there, they also it is a grocery store and they have a little butcher area. It's also very popular with the Pakistanis, it's good to see.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about Bethel Road before being this incredible ethnic food corridor, but you almost it's a 4-lane highway. It's not like
it's like 45-mile-an-hour zone.
Yeah, so it's not like you can just kind of cruise down. I don't know how Steve Stover, one of our other food reviewers, did it the day. He must have snarled traffic at best. But it really is just kind of a visual blur. It's kind of hard to find.
Yeah, you almost have to know what you're looking for before you get up there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you'll almost be overwhelmed by it. Another good one up there is Sansu, the Korean barbecue place.
Yeah, which I guess is very authentic as well. Some mm-hmm. Korean friends.
Yeah. You almost have to know what you're looking for because there's so much.
Well, you have
up there.
To know which side of the street it's mm-hmm. on, whether it's at the
it's a busy road,
315 end, or if it's up near the sawmill end, because there are probably close to 100 restaurants along there.
Oh yeah,
seems like it.
Yeah.
Toby is joining us with a word about the soybean crop. Go ahead, Tony. Toby, I'm sorry.
Well, it's just a quick update there. My mother-in-law lives up there in that Route 4 Attica Republic area up there around Seneca County. And while the soybean crop may look good from Route 4, it's actually worse than the corn crop is year because there's a bug blight. They've got this. You go in about three rows, and unfortunately, the soybeans are just being eaten alive by the bug. Unfortunately, it's all nothing is good this year for those farmers up there in Northwest Ohio. So just thought I'd pitch that in real quick for you. Thanks for the show. It's a great listen.
Thank you so much for calling. We did, have a story on the news not too long ago that they thought these late summer rains might actually help the soybeans. But as Toby said, there is a bug infestation, and that's not going to fare very well.
Oh, what a disastrous
year. Farmers up there. We do have an email from Larry who says he was driving. Could you give me the name of the Vietnamese place near 161? I think, Miriam, it was...
So if you get, it's P-H-O, Pho, Chef, C-H-E-F. So if you take 161 and you head towards Sawmill, so I always come from the east. So I'm driving west to Sawmill. Right before you get to Sawmill, hang a right, and you'll see it. There's a kind of a strip mall, right, that runs right on 161.
Is this kind of where Whole Foods is?
Whole Foods, yeah.
It's before Whole Foods. Whole Foods is a giant...
Next to Value City and DSW.
Yeah, that's a giant area. There's this other... little thing that runs right along 161, right before you get to the giant shopping center.
Okay.
It also has a place called Papaya Grill, which is more fast casual Asian food, but they have this awesome dessert that is, I don't think it's anything more than butter, phyllo dough, and condensed milk that's been put on the grill, so the condensed milk turns into caramel. I just want to rub it all over my face. It's so good.
292-8513. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back.
Hal David said Alfie was his favorite of the lyrics he wrote. On the next Fresh Air, we listen back to our interview with Hal David, who wrote many great songs with Burt Bacharach. David died Saturday at the age of 91. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon here on 89.7 NPR News. 80 degrees with sunshine and a high of 90 today. Partly cloudy tonight with showers and thunderstorms likely overnight, a low of 65. Occasional rain for Saturday morning, tapering off throughout the day, a high of just 72. Support for 89.7 comes from the Wexner Center for the Arts, presenting Palissimo, an adventurous dance theater company from New York and Wexner Center Residency Award recipient. Palissimo will be performing their Painted Bird Trilogy September 12th through the 16th. Details at wexarts.org. And support also comes from Experience Clintonville, hosting Festival 2012, a one-day neighborhood arts festival including arts and crafts vendors, music, food, and kids activities. Saturday, September 8th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Whetstone Park. And All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
And we're back with All Sides Weekend. We're talking about food and restaurants today. And as Amy just alerted us, it's festival in Clintonville coming up tomorrow. And Miriam, will you be attending?
Oh, do you know, I live not far away from there, so I absolutely am attending. I'm actually a volunteer with it, so I'm doing some of the fun kids things.
If no other reason, people should stop by just to meet you.
Yeah, and do my subversive kids activities. There's food there, though. So since I'm volunteering for a long time, that's really good news for me because I have to eat to be happy. And so they've got Weiland's Patty Cake Bakery, Crimson Cup, let me see if I can name them. I think I can name them all. Crimson Cup, Mozart's, and Vienna Ice. All will have food vendor areas there. And I was asking them about it just for my own information. And they'll have affordable things, which is something you don't often find at festivals. You may notice it's always the ribs are $8 because they've already got you there, and they know if you're starving and your kid is screaming, you have to buy whatever it is. But they'll have things that are family-friendly priced. And I loved that about this event. So you can go and plan on eating there without breaking the bank first.
And Weiland's, of course, you could actually go there instead of going out to dinner and just pick up something out of the warm case.
Yeah, I think they'll have
some really good
stuff.
They've got some great stuff. Yeah. They do. They do indeed.
There's also today, as a matter of fact, a food truck event at the Zauber Brewery in Grandview, which is on Norton between 3rd and 5th Avenues.
Kind of a little industrial park down there.
Right. There's going to be 10 food trucks. They're going to be serving food after 4 p.m. today. There's going to be DJs. And also, it's for a good cause. 5% of all sales will go to the Childhood Cancer Research Foundation. So that's something definitely worth checking out.
And do you know what food trucks are going to be there?
I don't know. I know the one I heard about it from, because I follow on Facebook, was a Hungry Monkey food truck, the one that did those great burgers. But there's going to be apparently 10 of them there, so it could be worth checking
out. And this is something that they do pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've done it with this many, but yeah, at Zauber, they often have two or three food trucks right out there.
And this is a local beer?
It's a local brewery that just opened in 2012, yeah.
So that might be something worth checking out.
And they sell the beer retail? Do they have a bar license?
Yeah, it's a bar. And so, yeah, good microbrew and good food and music. So
you can get your food and your
and your
beer
drink
too,
on
and
a
you
Friday.
Don't even need
yeah,
a red cup,
go.
Right?
No, you don't need a red cup.
We have
Save
an email
for the next day.
Yeah, we have an email here from Vicky who wants to recommend L'Antibes, which is really a wonderful place at Warren, I think, and North High Street in the Short North.
Yeah, lovely place.
Oh, yeah,
really
it's
great.
Certainly one of my top five in the city.
And Vicky points out that they also have a patio menu with some less expensive, lighter items that are just as high quality as the regular.
Oh, good.
So yeah, it almost doubles their capacity, actually. And, if you do want to check that out, get there before it's too late in the fall. But, yeah, it's still open right now.
But this is a really lovely room, almost like you're in someone's formal dining room on the inside, paintings on the wall, and it's very understated.
Not a busy restaurant. You know, there's usually only maybe one or two servers.
It's a smaller room, but really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 292-8513, and Chris is joining us from Westerville. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to plug a place up here on the north side near Polaris on Sankt. It's called Nora, N-O-O-R-A. They got the version or whatever menu, and they're really great. The owner's awesome, but the food is really dynamite. Great kebabs and everything.
Great.
I don't know if you guys have ever been there. If anyone out there goes, you got to get the Cornish game hen on the bone. It's psychotic. it's crazy good.
So, I work up in that direction, and I've actually been meaning to get in there, so thank you for the recommendation.
So it's Nora, N-O-O-R-A.
Yeah, and they're really good. And seriously, if you meet the owner, I mean, he's incredible. He's such a he's wonderful. So that only adds to it. But yeah, the atmosphere is, for a strip mall, it's really good. I think they've done a really good job with the inside, and the food is incredible. So
Polaris is another place. Well, that whole area though, where it's kind of this blinding, you know, montage of storefronts. Give us a little bit of an idea of where it is.
Oh, okay. What you do is if you're coming off 71, you go past the mall, and then you'd go up to, you'll see Kroger on the left-hand side, and there's a light there. That's Sankus, and then you'd take a left.
Okay.
And then it would be about a light or two up on the right. I live up in the area, so I'm always going the back roads, so I'm trying to think.
So on Sankus between LaZelle and Polaris Parkway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's on the right-hand side, and it's just, you know, like you said, it's kind of hard to see if you're not really looking for it, but
and there are so many restaurants up there too.
there are a ton, and honestly, it doesn't have quite the quality of diversity that some of the other areas of town have. But this particular restaurant it should stand out, but it's blended in the strip mall there.
Great.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. 292-8513, and Paige is joining us from Worthington. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You?
Great. Hey, I wanted to let everyone know that tomorrow is the Ethiopian New Year celebration in town. It's like the sixth annual. It's held at the Whitehall Community Park. The doors open around 9. Food is served starting around noon. And it's just fabulous. It's like $10 for tickets in advance or $15 at the door. And it's just a really great party with awesome food all day long.
Sounds like everything's happening at once. This
exactly.
is tomorrow in Whitehall?
Yes, at the Whitehall Community Park.
Okay, and where is that?
It's 402 North Hamilton Road.
Okay.
It's great to know. That's across from the buyer's dealership up there.
Yeah, it's that whole area.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call. We did get an email from Richard who wants to know if the panel knows of any good whole wheat pizza places for vegans.
They actually do a really good whole wheat pizza up at Mellow Mushroom at Polaris, I assume that they could be able to top it with vegan dressings. Mellow Mushroom, it's at the corner of a strip mall, up opposite direction of the mall when you get off 71 if you went east.
It's a right turn, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
For the women.
Right turn if you're on 71 North, yes. And then about half a mile down on the left, Mellow Mushroom. I just had a chance to check it out a few weeks ago with my wife and really enjoyed it. And they do whole wheat crust and white as well.
Okay, Richard, I hope that answers your question. 292-8513, and we have Les on the line.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
I'm a transplant from Rhode Island, and I pretty much grew up living on fresh fish. And I've been burned a few times at some of the local Columbus area restaurants. They'll say it's fresh fish, but when I taste it, their definition of fresh and my definition of fresh might be two different things. So my question is, what really would you recommend for someone who really likes fresh fish? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call.
All right.
Any ideas?
You know, Rivage in Worthington, mm-hmm. I notice sometimes they will even have stands out front, like selling shrimp just up off from the Gulf that they've got to move. It's so, you know, it's so fresh, and really fresh shrimp is something outstanding that you just don't get a chance to find every day.
This is on High Street.
Yeah, yep, on High Street at, I don't know.
Close to 161.
Right, in the middle of Worthington. So Worthington that, I'd give them a try.
Yeah. You know, if you're looking for something for lunch, go to Bob the Fish Guy at the North Market. They have a great couple fish sandwiches that they do, and it's absolutely fresh.
So it's more than just a fish case up there where you can stuff home and cook it. They actually have
they pre-make crab cakes and those kinds of things if you want to take them home. But they do a good fish sandwich up there as well.
Well, it is difficult when you grow up in a state where you're right on the coast of the ocean. And of course, we're hundreds
of miles probably won't
in.
Find it quite as fresh here, it's getting better, with the freight moving as quickly as it does these days.
And what about the fish market?
I've always had a good experience there. Yeah. Or Ocean Club, I've had good experiences there. But again, I never had the privilege of living in Rhode Island right next to the sea. So I don't want to say that, that's going to be up to his par. But I've had good experiences both those places.
Yep.
292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We do have an email from Jocelyn who says she moved here from Texas 3 years ago and she misses authentic Mexican food. We can't replicate every geographical area of the country, but Columbus certainly has a greater, much greater variety of restaurants now, particularly ethnic restaurants, than when I moved here, certainly, which was, of course, 100 years ago. But we just had a review, I think, a recap in yesterday's Weekender from the Dispatch of La Casita on Bethel Road. And, of course, we've talked about the one on Henderson.
Cuco's. I also like Poblano's out on East Main Street. But, again, I went to college at the University of Arizona about 45 minutes from Mexico, so I'm familiar with the difference.
And what was the difference to you?
You don't get the flavors here that you get. One of my favorite things to get was, beef that was actually, sun-dried and cooked on their roof in cages. It was shredded. It was just unbelievable seasoned beef.
Well, maybe this summer we could have.
maybe this summer. Mexican places, it is tough to find truly authentic Mexican food. But, again, a good couple are Cuco's on Henderson Road. I like Poblano's out on East Main.
There's a Mexican grocery store. There's two in mm-hmm. Columbus. Well, there's probably more than two, but there's two that have cafeterias in them in Columbus.
Michoacana?
That's one. Okay. Is that the one on the west side or the one on 161?
Well, there's several Michoacana, and each of them have prepared foods inside. The big one's on 161. There's also one on Morse Road, maybe, I think.
And then there's another Mexican grocery store someplace on the west side. So I've been to both of those places. They're both immigrant-run, so I would be inclined to think that would lend to the authenticity. I mean, if you're from someplace, you mm-hmm. know how to prepare food.
And don't forget the food trucks.
That's what I was thinking.
And actually, one of the trucks now has a brick and mortar place, Los Gachos, which is on Godown. Is that right?
I haven't.
Yeah. The we took a cookbook author and kind of a food snob from Cleveland, nice guy, but he and Anthony Bourdain did a smackdown on
Michael
Columbus.
Ruhlman.
Michael Ruhlman is the guy's name, and they did a smackdown on Columbus. So I, along with a couple of my buddies, captured this guy
for you're known as the food mafia.
Or the food Nazis. the food mafia. He did.
That's right.
and he just couldn't get over how good the product was at Los Gachos.
Yeah, and you can actually find on tacotruckscolumbus.com many of those. They'll try and list their locations. Obviously, they are mobile, but most of them, once they do find a good location, will try and stick there as long as they can. So that'd be a good resource.
And we all, I think, have been to, I'm going to forget the name of the place on Rich Street, the little food truck hub that just opened this spring.
Dining Hall.
And they have a number of food trucks
that come in every day. They
every
rotate
day,
them,
and
that's
they,
yeah, that's
yeah.
at 400 West Rich Street.
Right.
And I think they also, you can go to their website, it's just dininhall.com without the G on the end of the word. See what they've got there. I'm sure many of those taco and Mexican trucks would.
And there is a taco
there.
Truck, I think, on Fifth Avenue around Forsyth, Little something, and that name is escaping me, unfortunately, as well. But as you say, you can go to the food truck website.
TacoTrucksColumbus.com, yep.
And there are all the listings there. 292-8513. And you guys have been on a weekend pizza tour of late, getting your fill of pizza, apparently.
Well, yeah, I've mentioned a couple of them. We did Natalie's, which we talked about mm-hmm. earlier up in Worthington. And then I finally got a chance, living in Bexley, we don't get up to the Polaris area that much to eat. But that Mellow Mushroom up there was really good. And then a place that we reviewed a couple years ago.
Is that local?
Mellow Mushroom? No, it is franchised, but not, you know, to the degree of a Papa John's or anything. Mm-hmm. And their menu's far more original and interesting. They hand toss the dough. You can see them doing it. For each pie.
Kind of like Dewey's.
Yeah. And then, we revisited Yellow Brick Pizza down at...
This time we got to go along with the grandchild.
Yeah. Dad went on that trip as well, and we had about four different pies, and, I mean, there wasn't one, one unsatisfied
white,
person.
White pizza there that didn't have... It was, it
didn't
was
have tumors.
Cosmetically, it was a lot nicer, but it was very good. And the Harvest, I think, is our...
Well, I mean, Harvest has been getting a lot of press, and we love that place. Terrific thin crust pizza, but of those three, I mean, we're really becoming a great town for pizza.
Yeah,
and you know what weirds me out about Mellow Mushroom is that all the artwork in there is sort of psychedelic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it suggests, I think, an acid trip. I'm not so good, or what? What?
Yeah,
right?
I think it's,
and then they
it's
have 60s kitty chairs.
Themed. Yeah,
yeah, and I don't get the whole kitty chair.
But
in
then
an
the
acid
other
trip thing.
The funny part is they also have about 15 flat screens with sports on them. but so no, it, and
so
a great,
it's a trip for anybody.
And a full bar with lots of great micro brews. But yeah, it's got kind of a trippy theme to it, which is interesting. But the food was really, really good.
And Yellow Brick Pizza is in the Old Town East.
Old Town East,
area.
That's across from the Old Town Tavern and Angry Baker we were talking about.
Oak and 18th.
Yeah, they also do a fairly thin crust pie, very creative with their toppings. And they also have a lot of really good beers there as well.
We have Rob joining us. We have a couple of minutes left. Go ahead, Rob.
This is Rob.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention, I don't know if any of you have been to the El Camino. It's part of the Little Palace Rossi Group. It's in downtown Columbus.
Right, next to Dirty Frank's.
Dirty Frank's. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Taco Truck with a bar, which is great, you know, if you want to have a cold beer or a nice margarita. But some good friends of mine own all those places, and I just wanted to throw their name in the hat. Between the El Camino and the Rossi, I can tell you I've just never had a bad meal, and I think they do a really great job.
And this just opened not too long ago, right?
Yeah, probably a couple months. Everything's handmade. I'm actually one of their food suppliers, so I've delivered them numerous boxes of avocados to make sure they're perfect. they do a hell of a job, and it's just, you know, really simple, good, put-together, homemade food. You know, it reminds me a lot of what all the guys I always worked with in kitchens used to put together for staff meal, you know?
Yeah. Just, yep.
Simple and fantastic.
That's great. We got Dirty Frank's and Little Palace, and now this place. It's also a
coming quite
food destination.
Corridor, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I enjoy the show all the time. I listen regularly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your call, 292-8513. We have just about a minute and a half left. It seems to me that Liz Lesner's opening another restaurant downtown.
Yeah, it's always 2 weeks away, right?
It's always 2 weeks
away.
The Grass Skirt Tiki Room. I think it's still in progress. I've been following them on Facebook. It looks like it's going to be a real interesting-looking, very artsy place. It's right down by CCA, Columbus State down there.
With Spam. Like, I keep seeing, hey, look at these Spam kebabs we're taste testing.
Spam is big in Hawaii, actually. and it's in the Polynesian cuisine. It is actually quite big.
Is it Gay and Grant? Is that where it is? Or Cleveland?
Mad Lap. Where was Mad Lap? There.
I can't remember exactly. Oh.
Well, that'll have to do it. And we'll certainly give her 2 weeks, and we'll see where she is then. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media. I'm Marilyn Smith. We've been talking with Miriam Bowers Abbott of The Other Paper and Rich Terapek, along with his son Rich. Until next time, thanks for joining us.